woman in your life who will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
What a great day here in Santa Rosa. You know, it's real interesting. I just found out the other day that Santa Rosa is going to be celebrating 150 years of being a city. I mean, it's really exciting. So stay tuned for some good news as we progress during the month to talk about some of the celebrations that are going to be going on. Well, I have a pretty good show today. Joining me in the studio this morning is Sabra Briere, one of the leaders of the Indivisible Sonoma County group, and which formed in 2017. No, it didn't. Not 2000.
Yes, it did.
2017. Okay. The members of the organization connects to the Sonoma County people with their power to influence their members of Congress and other elected officials to keep their movement on track. You know, when I first heard about Indivisible, I just thought, what a great idea. It's like person to person contacting all over the United States, I believe. They make calls and contact people. The mission is to mobilize and organize the people of Sonoma County by connecting them with the political process to fight for equality and justice. It's really interesting when you have to think about it. We have to fight for equality and justice instead of just asking for it and letting it happen naturally. But that's the way it is in our country. So I'm really excited about this interview, about bringing the information to the community and to all of our 18 counties. And by the way, Happy New Year. It's the year of the dog. Went to a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful celebration last night at the Veterans Memorial that was put on by the Redwood Empire Chinese Association. I want to do a shout out to my dear friend Nancy Wang. I cannot believe what she pulls together. It's just a wonderful, wonderful group. And the thing that I really appreciated the most about this celebration was how that culture brings their children in. And I was watching one of their dances, and I thought to myself, what is more precious than a child? I mean, when you really start thinking about it, what is more precious? Each and every one of them. I mean, they're just so adorable when they do their dances and they fall over and they make mistakes and all that other good stuff. And I was watching them and I could not help but think of all the children of the world. You know, what's going on with some of these wars and some of these things that are happening. It's really sad. I mean, we have to look at each child as a precious gift. And that's what I felt. That's what I felt last night when I watched all the different performances. So Happy New Year. It's the year of the dog, 2018. And one of the things I asked Nancy Wong, I said, so what does it mean, the year of the dog? Well, you know what dogs are like. They're kind. They're friendly. They are very, very loyal. So it's a good year. It's a good year to maybe figure a way to be a little bit kinder to each other, maybe do a little bit more for each other, and just honor each other. I mean, it's really an amazing thought when you start thinking about it. In fact, I want to do a shout out for my dog, Rosie, who reminds me every day of how wonderful it is to have a dog in your life. Well, February is Black History Month, and also it was known as National African American History Month. And I want to bring attention once again. If you remember last week, I had Faith Hill on, and I want to just remind my listeners that they're going to be doing the 4th Annual Black History Program, and that's going to be happening at the Petaluma Veterans Building at 1094 Petaluma Boulevard. It's free, and it's open to the public. And this year, it's going to be Petaluma Blacks for Community Development, 40 years of celebrating Black history. Amazing in Petaluma. So they're going to do like kind of a look back and look at history. There's a wonderful display at the History Museum and Museum here in Petaluma also. And just enjoy it. These are free things. You can go. You can see all your history. And, you know, it's amazing the impact that African Americans have had on our communities. So let me tell you just a little bit about Black History Month here. Like I said, February is Black History Month. This was called also called National African African American History Month. It's an annual celebration of achievements by Black Americans and a time for recognizing the central role of African Americans in United States history. You know, when I went back to school, I was 30 years old in 1970, and that's when they started having like African American history classes, Hispanic history classes, Chinese history. Every culture was being represented, and at that time we got a chance to learn about one another. And I never knew the contribution that Black Americans made to our country until I start looking into it. So it's really important that we do celebrate all their accomplishments. And when I get it further into the program, I'm going to talk about two women who I feel really made a deep contribution to all of us. Anyway, the event grew out of what was called Negro History Week. It was the brainchild of noted historian Carter G. Wooden and other prominent African Americans. Since 1976, every U.S. president has officially designated the month of February as Black History Month. Other countries around the world, including Canada and the United Kingdom, also devote a month to celebrating Black history. Well, in honor of this month, I picked two African American sisters. You know, I've been presenting different women all month and honoring them. And you know, next month is going to be Women's History Month, and the theme for Women's History Month is that they persisted against all odds. You know, I remember when Shirley Chisholm, when she was in Congress and she was running for president, they asked her, which is harder, to be a woman or to be an African American? And she said, absolutely a woman. So that's why it's so important next month she persisted in spite of it all. So I'm going to talk about two African American women. One is from the past and one is from the present. In other words, one is still alive and one has deceased. Okay, let's first talk about Marjorie Stuart Joyner. Now, this is so interesting. Marjorie Stuart Joyner, 1896, and she passed away in 1994. She was the inventor of the permanent hair wave machine that changed the game for hairstyling when she invented that machine. So an African American, you know, you would go to the beauty parlor and they had these machines and they put curlers around you and then they'd heat it up and then you had like curly hair, or it could be used to straighten your hair. But the most amazing thing is that we had an African American woman that actually did that. She invented a permanent wave machine that added curl to straight hair and could be used to straighten out curly hair. She became the national supervisor for more than 200 beauty colleges owned by Madam C.J. Walker, and eventually she joined and became the board of directors. Her machine, you know, it's really interesting is that you don't think about these Black, you know, African American women back in 1896 when she was born, that you don't think of them as being businesswomen. But here she had, not only was she a businesswoman, not only did she invent this machine, but she also trained many, many young women in the art of hair design, as they say here in the history. So we're really a shout out to her. She lived from 1890. She was born in 1896 and she passed away in 1994. And she was actually a child of former slaves. So she accomplished quite a bit for a young woman of color. So shout out to Marjorie Stuart Joyner. And now another interesting African-American woman is Loretta Ross. Now, Loretta Ross is a really interesting experience when you start reading about her. She was dedicated her career to feminist issues with a focus on women of color. She helped to create the theory of reproductive justice, adding human right framework to include everyone in the productive rights issue. Ross is a rape survivor and a survivor of sterilization abuse. I mean, can you imagine? She had no control over her life. They said, we're just going to sterilize you. I mean, that is really hard to believe. She launched her feminist career in the 1970s as the director of D.C. Rape Crisis Center, one of the first centers primarily run by and for women of color. She launched the Women of Color program for the National Organization for Women. And here we go, another African-American woman part of the National Organization for Women, and I'm telling you, it's the best-kept secret of all the histories. Every time I start reading about these women, I start finding out how much influence they had with the NOW organization. It is amazing to me. So let me repeat that. She launched her feminist career in the 1970s as the director of the D.C. Rape Crisis Center and one of the first centers primarily run by and for women of color. She launched the Women of Color program for the National Organization for Women, NOW, in the 1980s, and was the National Program Director of the National Black Women's Health Project. She is presently a visiting professor teaching courses on white supremacy, productive justices, and calling in practices at Hampshire Tyre College for the 2017-18 academic year. Loretta Ross holds a BA from Agnes Scott College in Women's Studies and holds honorary doctorate of civil law awarded in 2003 from Arcadia University and a second honorary doctorate degree awarded in 2013 by Smith College. So let's do a shout out and just thank these wonderful women for all their contribution. A shout out to Marjorie Stewart Joyner, founder of the woman who did the permanent waves. I mean, I just can't, you know, we get permanents. This is the woman who invented it. And Loretta Ross, who was also part of the National Organization for Women. And you know, in 2020, it's very interesting. We're coming up with our 100-year anniversary, 100 years since we got the vote. Amazing. Time goes by so fast. In fact, I was thinking the other day when I was thinking about, you know, what's going on, and I would start thinking about my mother and my aunts and my family, and I realized when I was born, women only had the vote for 20 years. Amazing. And I never got a chance. You know, it shows how ignorant we were as young girls. I mean, I never knew about the suffrage movement until I went back to college. You know, it's something, you know, Murphy McGregor is the founder of the Women's History Project, and she was a high school teacher, and what spurred her on to do women's history is because she was teaching in classes and there was no women's history. So none of us knew anything, but now we know, and we can acknowledge all those wonderful women who brought us to the place that we are definitely at. Well, that's it for right now, and we're going to take a musical break. But one thing before we take the musical break, I want to express something. You know, I went to the celebrating the Chinese New Year last night. We were at the Veterans Building, and it was just amazing to see all these people out there supporting this wonderful, wonderful program. You know, they have children's dances, they have all kinds of things going on. Well, it's really important to be part of a community. And there's all kinds of ways you can be part of the community. One way is, of course, to show up for any activities that are happening. Another way is you can donate money. Well, I want to talk a little bit about KBBF because I'm really beginning to see how important we are as a radio station, all the information that we're bringing to you. And not only that, we're bilingual. We serve several different communities. Plus, we go out to 18 counties across Northern California. So we have quite a big reach. In fact, I encourage any of you businesses out there, if you'd like to become underwriters to, excuse me, to please give us a contact. But the most important thing is you, the listeners out there, the very least you can do is to become a member of KBBF. You know, to say, I'm a member, I'm supporting my local community radio station, I am a member. You know, you become a member, you can get you a bumper sticker, you can put it on your back of your car and let people know there is a community radio station. Not only that, a bilingual station, the oldest bilingual station in the United States. And you support it. The other way you can become a supporter is you can just make a straight out donation. You know, we'll never turn away a dollar bill. I'll tell you that much. And the third way, which is one of the most important ways, I think, is to become a sustainer. That means you allocate a certain amount. Like I do certain allocations for a spiritual group that I believe in. I give them $10 a month. They take $10 a month out of my checking account, and I don't even think about it. And at the end of the year, I get my little tax thing that says I donated $120, and I take my deduction. And you can do the same here. You can say $10 a month, $20 a month, $50 a month. You know, we even have a special where you go for $4.99 a month and then $9.99 a month. So there's all kinds of ways that you can support the station. Now, how do you do that? Very, very simple. Go to kbbf.org, and you'll see right up on the right-hand corner, you'll see donate. All you have to do is click that, and you make your choices, and it's over with. But the most important thing is, to support your local radio. You know, it was amazing during the fires. It wasn't KPFA. It wasn't any of these other stations out there. It was local stations. It was your KSRO, your KBBF, the KRCB. You know, KBBF satisfied several communities. I mean, it was just an amazing experience to be part of the station and to see what was going on. So go to kbbf.org, go to the right hand, you'll see donate, and decide how you're going to do it. I know this is a little bit of a long pitch, but last night when I saw how successful that event was, the only thing I could think of is what made it successful is people were willing to come out, write a check, and sit down and have dinner together. So again, a shout out to the Redwood Empire Chinese Association for not only putting on such a great event, but giving me a sense of what community can do. And that's the most important thing. Community. I mean, when push comes to shove, that's all we have. You know, who were the first responders during the fire? It was the community, your neighbor, your next door neighbor. That's the one who came out. Well, I have another thing I want to just share with you. Oh, by the way, this was really interesting. At the event, the Redwood Empire Chinese Association event, I got to meet one of the guys that's running for sheriff. I got to talk to him one-on-one. It was very, very interesting. His name is Mr. John Mutz, and it was very, very interesting meeting him. So a shout-out for him for showing up and meeting and greeting the people. I think he was the only candidate there. He was the only candidate there, wasn't he, Ken? Yeah, he was the only candidate there. So a big shout-out to him. And also, one of the biggest thrills in my life. Oh, is this a thrill? On Thursday night, Ken and I went out to Sonoma, a special shout out to the Praxis Institute, and we got to see Richard Wolff and Harriet Fraud talk. And I'll tell you, these two people, they hit it right on when they talk about the economics that's creating some of our frustration. So a special shout out to them. And it was an amazing presentation. And also, I want to remind my listeners that Richard Wolff is on every Tuesday at 11 o'clock a.m. here on KBBF. So we are a bilingual station. We have Spanish, we have English, and we have a few indigenous program. You know, we also have Tom Hartman on, and he's on every day at 2 o'clock. I mean, for you English, my program is English, so I know there's a lot of you English speakers out there listening. So we have Tom Hartman at 2 o'clock. So between Richard Wolff and Tom Hartman, I mean, you get quite an education. So like I said, Richard Wolff is on at 11 o'clock, on 11 a.m. on Tuesdays. And like, he was just him and Harriet Fraud. I mean, if you're just listening to them, it gives you a sense of peace because you have some understanding of what is going on in this cockamamie world, right? Well, folks, that's a lot to digest, and I want to tell you I appreciate all you folks out there that are listening. And remember to go to the website www.womensspaces.com and check out the pledge. We'll be doing it next week because that's the last Monday of the week. Well, we're going to take, we're going to take a musical break, and I'm going to play, likewise, remember, this is Black History Month, so I'm going to be playing this song, Oh Freedom, and it's sung by a woman by Vivian Richmond. And what I found out, the singer Odessa actually brought this forward, but unfortunately, the recordings that I was listening to by her, I could not get a good recording, so I chose Vivian Richmond to do it. But even, you know, after the Emancipation Proclamation and the Union's victory in the Civil War ended slavery in 1860, 1860s. African Americans did not have the freedom, still did not have the freedom enjoyed by other Americans, especially in the southern states. They were victims of prejudice, violence, and laws designed to keep them segregated from white America and restrict their right to vote. Not until Congress passed the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was there a national law. Isn't that amazing? They had to make a national law that prohibited discrimination against African Americans and other minorities in all the most important activities of American life. I mean, we're talking here, this is only 1964. I mean, that is just amazing. Up in that time, people were not enjoying the freedom. The spiritual old freedom probably came into being soon after the end of slavery. Like many African American spiritualists, the song has more than one meaning. Not only does it refer to freedom in the world to come after death, as many slave spiritualists do, but it celebrates their new freedom in the here and now. In the 1950s and the 1960s, the song was commonly sung as a part of the civil rights movement. An amazing song. It's interesting when you do the history of these songs, you realize they've been around for a long time. People have been singing about this stuff, it seems like forever. When I come back, I will be talking with Sabra Buray, one of the leaders of the Indivisible Sonoma County. Indivisible Sonoma County was formed in January 2017. They connect Sonoma County people with their power to influence their members of Congress and other elected officials. It's a fascinating group, and I look forward to hearing from Sabria to talk about it. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm a little bit tired today. I have to admit, my voice is, I feel it just kind of going, so please forgive me. I think I had a little bit too much fun this weekend. Just amazing. Well, anyway, let's go ahead and listen to Old Freedom, sung by Vivian Richmond.
Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom over me, and before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave. Go home to my Lord and be free. No more weeping, no more weeping. No more weeping over me, and before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave. Go home to my Lord and be free. Well, come and go with me to that land, come and go me to that land. Go with me to that land where I am bound. Well, come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land. Go with me to that land where I am bound. Well, in that land, there's no morning. In that land, no morning. In that land where I am bound, no, there's no morning. In that land, there's no morning. In that land, no morning. In that land where I am bound, I'm on my way. I'm on my way to the freedom land. I'm on my way to the freedom land. I'm on my way. Great God, I'm on my way. I ask my brother to come with me. I ask my brother to come with me. I ask my brother to come with me. I'm on my way, and I won't turn back. I'm on my way, great God, I'm on my way.
Oh, my goodness, I'm on my way. Thank God I'm on my way, and nobody's going to make me turn back. I mean, that sounds like the Women's March to me, as well as the celebration of Black History Month. Well, for you folks just joining us, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa, and I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, Sabra Briere. Welcome, Sabra. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Oh, thank you, Elaine.
Well, thank you so much for helping me with my pronunciation here. I have to apologize.
You know, when you're gifted with a difficult name at birth, you just live with it.
I know Holtz is a hard one, too. I've been called holy. I mean, all kinds of things. Well, welcome to Women's Spaces, Sabra. I'm really happy to have you. I've been wanting to do an interview about Indivisibles ever since I first heard about them. So I'm really happy to have you in the studio with me. So is it okay if I tell my listeners just a little bit about you?
Oh, please.
Well, Sabra Briere is a recent import from Michigan. From
Michigan.
Oh my goodness. I thought it was Southern California.
Oh no.
So you're enjoying the nice weather here, I'm sure.
Well, one should never complain about weather wherever one is.
Well, anyway,
and that includes all of last winter's rain.
It's interesting. Well, you have quite a background. You were a member of the Ann Arbor, Michigan City Council until you moved here. You immediately became involved in our community. You joined Indivisible Sonoma County at their first general meeting in January 2017. I was amazed. I thought I was making a mistake. I didn't know they were that new.
Very new.
It's amazing, and she has become an active member of the local Democratic Party, volunteers for the city of Santa Rosa. Sabra became the leader of. Oh, you're one of the leaders of Indivisible Sonoma County last fall, following the founder of Karen Dior. And were you the person who spoke at the Women's March?
I did.
Yeah. Oh, that was you.
Yes.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. She spoke at the most recent Women's March here. She is passionate about free speech, education, the environment, and civic responsibility, and she brings her energy and insights to our local issues. Well, welcome, and welcome to Sonoma County.
Thank you so much.
Well, you know, that's a really good opening is here you are from Michigan. You know, one of the things about Women's Spaces is dedicated to ordinary women doing extraordinary things. But the idea is to encourage women. So here you come into a new county and you become so involved. So tell me, what inspired you to get so involved with social work and some of the things that you're doing? And also, what inspired you to come out here to good old sunny California?
Well, let's start with wonderful, beautiful Sonoma County. My son moved to California from Michigan about 20-some years ago, settled in the Bay Area, and he is the only kid I've got. So we knew, my husband and I knew, that at some point, if he wasn't going to move back to Michigan, we were going to move here. We all reached a point in life where it was possible to say, I can leave Michigan, and he was able to say, we can afford, mind you, it's him, we can afford to have you move here. Because California's a lot more expensive than the most expensive community in Michigan, which is Ann Arbor. So with John's support and help, we moved here last January.
Well, I can relate when you say I have a single child also, my daughter Susan. So I know that how it is. You know, we want to be close. So you came to California. What made you choose Sonoma County?
John recommended Sonoma County. We looked at other places, but he felt that the weather was perfect and the terrain was interesting and the people were wonderful, and the opportunities for finding a balance between an urban life and a quiet life existed right here in Santa Rosa. So we looked around at all the other communities in Sonoma County, and I thought about what happens when I get older, when driving becomes a bigger burden, and needing to go to the doctor becomes more significant. And so Santa Rosa was the place that would offer easy access to medical care, easy access to libraries and civic events and social events. And even if I were reduced to needing a ride from somebody, it's dense enough, there's enough people, I can find friends.
Well, you know, it really sounds good to hear about your city from someone who moved into it. You know, you don't have that perspective. You know, when you've lived here already 40 years, you're kind of spoiled. You
well, I was 40-some years in Ann Arbor and a serious promoter of what Ann Arbor had to offer. Ann Arbor is a beautiful place, but every place can be beautiful, and this is one of them.
I like that. Every place can be beautiful, and it depends on the community. So tell us how you got involved with Indivisible, and also it sounds like you've got every other activities. I mean, what was it like as a woman coming into a new town, and now you're going to get involved?
Well, I owe all of this to the results of the 2016 presidential election. Because we thought when we made this decision that we were going to be retiring, that I would be peripheral to politics and just being quiet and learning how to garden in a very different climate. And then the election did not turn out the way we anticipated. Indivisible started with other people who felt exactly the same way. And All of us who became involved in Indivisible were unwilling to wait two more years to try to elect somebody else. We wanted to affect policy immediately, and that's what Indivisible does. I went to the first general organizing meeting because I was new in town and I wanted to know what I could do. And because I had political experience and a lot of history elsewhere, but still a lot of history, I found myself gravitating toward being in a leadership role.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. I want to just say, poor Mr. Trump, he just woke us all up. I mean, it was like this big awakening. I mean, it was like, I remember the night when they announced that he won, I just sat there, my mouth fell open. I could not believe it. It was like stunning to me. And it's activated, I think, the whole country. I mean, it keeps continuing on Amy Goodman. I heard this morning they have young children, the 16, 17-year-old in the place that they just had that shooting that are protesting.
Yes.
You know, and it's just amazing. So tell us a little bit about when you went to the first meeting. You didn't know about Indivisible then at the time.
I did know about Indivisible in the sense that there was what's called an Indivisible guide. And this guide was put together to help people like me, individuals like me, find ways to influence policy in Washington. It was based on the practices of the Tea Party when they began changing policy, how they approached elected officials, how they lobbied their Congress members. But groups grew out of this just in the time period between November and January. So I went to that meeting, and there were over 200 people at the meeting, and we all took on different roles in the organization, and we still do.
So that was in Sonoma County.
That was here in Santa Rosa.
200 people.
Over 200.
Oh, my goodness. That is hard to believe.
And there are now about 1,500 people on our mailing list. I don't know how many people read Facebook, and I don't know how many people follow us on Twitter. This is just, you know, at some point you'd give it up. But Indivisible is also – Indivisible Sonoma County is one of over 600 different Indivisible groups all over the U.S. There's at least one in every congressional district. In our congressional district, in our county, there are Windsor and Cloverdale, Sebastopol, Petaluma, Sonoma. And then there's one that straddles county lines that's out on the West Coast.
That's amazing. In such a short time that so many people were able to organize and start working. So give us a little sketch of what Indivisible is about and what it does. And it, like you walk in, like say you walk in, now you become a member. I'm a member. So now what happens?
Indivisible will encourage you to make phone calls or send texts to your members of Congress to pressure them to vote in a certain way or to sponsor a bill or to oppose a bill. That's our effort to change policy.
So how do you make the decision? Like, do you like a phone bank and say, okay, this bill's coming up, we're yay and nay on it? How does that happen?
No, we're not quite at that point where we're calling people, and thank goodness for that. What happens is we have scripts that we devise. Each chapter can do its own script. There's scripts that come out of national, but we have certain things that we, as a group, believe in. We believe in individual rights. We believe in minority rights. We believe in the rule of law. We believe in social equity. Those are things that we believe in. And so those are things that we pressure our members of Congress to stand up for if they believe in those things, too.
So say, for example, what would be one issue that you worked on recently that you can remember?
Well, of course, everybody knows how effective Indivisible was when it comes to opposing the repeal of the ACA, the Affordable Care Act. What you may not know is that Indivisible encouraged Senator Feinstein to take not just an academic stance, but a very strong, positive, vocal stance about supporting the Dreamers. You may not know that Indivisible has stood behind and pushed Representative Thompson forward to talk about gun control, to talk about rational legislation that is going to affect how freely guns are available and what types of guns are available. You may not know that Indivisible has worked very hard to oppose the immigration laws that are being proposed out of the White House right now, and to encourage reasonable discussion and reasonable solutions for allowing people to live in this country.
You know, it's interesting. You call it Indivisible. Where did that name come from?
We are one nation, indivisible. And we are indivisible as long as we stand together.
Yeah, because I know that, you know, when it first started coming around and that started happening, I figured that's kind of what it was. And I also, it's almost like we the people. You know, we forget that we the people is the first line in our Constitution. You know, it's not we the politicians, it's not we the NRA, it's not we, you know, Monsanto's, it's we the people. So it's kind of interesting with the Indivisible.
I think it's important to recognize that part of the reason Indivisible organized to affect policy is because people like me feared that minority voices would disappear if we didn't fight to present those minority views and those minority voices. And indeed, there's been a significant effort out of Washington to diminish the importance of minority opinion and minority voice. Minorities are extraordinarily important when it comes to political discourse, because if you're only talking to the people who all agree with each other, you're not growing, you're not learning, you're not recognizing inequities.
Well, what are some of the major challenges that Indivisible is having? I mean, are they really well received? I mean, how is it for you? And also, what is the mix of people that are involved?
So to start with, Indivisible's become respected in Sacramento, in Washington, because we're initially starting on policy. It's absolutely true that now that we're in 2018, we're beginning to talk about elections, and I'll talk about that in a bit. But for now, talking about policy, this is the way you deal with people who are already elected. And so we are well-received, well-respected, and we work very hard at being civil and firm at the same time. The opportunities that we see as an organization are to expand the people who feel politically empowered. Quite frankly, the And quite brutally, the people who felt they had the most at risk after the 2016 election were women. That's why the Women's March was so successful. That's why most of the political work that's being discussed right now from Indivisible is coming from women. That's why more women are running for office than ever before.
You know, we did do an interview. We did an interview with Emily's List. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing when she told me that 30,000 I almost fell off my chair. 30,000 women have applied to Emily's List that want to run for office, and they're doing some amazing training. But go, but that's true.
It's absolutely true. Women felt the greatest likelihood that they would lose what they had assumed was forever, and that was their right to work equally, their right to earn equal amounts of money, their right to have a political voice, their right to their own personal space. All of those are things that women have kind of pushed forward for in the last 50 years, and they became activated because they felt this was likely to be not just challenged but successfully challenged under the current administration.
Well, look what they're doing with Planned Parenthood.
I do.
Mean, when you're thinking of, I mean, when they're looking at I always ask this question, $700 billion to invest in a military, that's investing in death, and then cutting all the life force programs like food stamps, Planned Parenthood, some of the other things. I mean, I see you're shaking your head. I mean, it's not a fun thing to do. You know, what we're going to do right now, if it's okay with you, is we're going to take a little musical break, and I'm going to play a song called Harriet Tubman. And the reason that I'm putting that in between this conversation is you're talking about people standing up and having courage. You know, and it's Black History Month.
It is.
And I'll tell you, I think that black women are leading us into standing up even taller than we have stood up
in a long time. I sincerely hope so.
Well, it's all the different things. But Harriet Tubman is such an example. Here is a woman that was, you know, born into slavery, got her freedom, went with the Underground Radio and emancipated and freed so many of her people. Where did she, you know, I wish I could sit down and talk to her and say, Harriet, where did you get that courage? And I think the answer would be that she had faith in herself, faith in a higher power, and just knew that freedom was the most important thing. So let's listen to Harriet Tubman sung by Holly Near and just acknowledge, you know, we as women of color, we have to acknowledge the contributions that were made. And I have to say to you, Sabra, I am just so appreciative of all this great information because people need to hear that people are involved and they're doing something. It's not all lost. There is good and hope in the world. So here we go, Holly Near with Harriet Tubman. And then we'll be back with Sabra Briere. And we'll be talking about the group Indivisible.
One night I dreamed I was in slavery. About 1850 was the time. Sorrow was the only sign, and nothing around to ease my mind. Then out of the night appeared a lady leading a distant pilgrim band. First mate, she said, pointing her hand, make room aboard for this young woman. Come on up to this train of mine.
Tubman. Oh, boy. I mean, what an example of courage, for heaven's sakes, ladies. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt, and I have a guest with me today, Sabra Briere from Indivisible here, the Sonoma County chapter, and we've been talking about the chapter and all the wonderful things they're doing. And right now we're going to start joining in on the conversation. We're going to start talking about some of the things they're working on now. You want to talk about what is Indivisible working on now, and when they're working on something, what do they do?
Well, it's not like we're proposing legislation. Right now, we have a number of scripts urging our members of Congress to address the Russian interference in the election, which we think is very significant, to question why Jared Kushner still has a security clearance, since he still doesn't have a security clearance. There he is working in the White House looking at documents that are top secret, and he hasn't been given a security clearance by the FBI. We are asking them to address guns in schools in ways that aren't going to put all the kids in school basically behind bars and metal detectors. Those are the kinds of things that we're asking our members of Congress to do.
Well, that's, you know, about the gun thing. You know, the thing that has really been irritating me is they say, oh, we can't talk about it now because people are mourning. Well, people wouldn't be mourning had we talked about it before, when it happened before. So I think that's amazing. So what do you do? How do you prepare? Like here you say, okay, we've got this issue. We're going to call members of Congress. So now what happens?
We have four different groups of people who work with each member of Congress. They meet with member of Congress staff every month. They research what's going on in Washington. They research the issues that each congressman, each senator is dealing with. And they ask them questions and they encourage them to take action. We build from that to the questions we ask our general membership to contact their congressman about.
So usually, I know when I contact a congressman or a senator or, you know, I have an issue, I usually get an aide.
Always.
Yeah, so how do you know that aide is relaying the message? I mean, what is there a protocol that they have to do it?
Or? There is a protocol that they have to do it. They also keep count. They present the member of Congress with a listing every week of how many phone calls on an issue, how many emails on an issue, how many texts on an issue, how many letters they've received on an issue.
What's the most powerful way to contact them, do you think?
I think in person. But second to that, making a phone call and being precise and specific makes a big difference.
That's amazing. It's amazing.
But the truth is, all of them are equal when it comes to the numbers. We heard from Senator Feinstein's office that after the last shooting incident, a lot of people called her office to tell them, don't take my guns away. And not very many people called to say, what the heck is going on?
You're here to say that more people are afraid of losing their guns.
No, I'm here to say that more people were willing to call.
Willing to call to hold on to their guns rather than saying what's going on.
And that's why we tell people to call. If they think that what's going on is wrong, they can't be quiet. The time for being quiet is past.
Well, you know, there's a song by a woman by the name of Ellen Bookstale, and it's called By My Silence, I Give My Consent. So when you don't, you've got to do something, you know.
Yes.
Even, you know, I've often wondered, you know, one of the excuses people have is it's on the they're working, they're too busy. Well, you're not too busy to pick up the
phone. You know, we have an app for that. You just use Amplify. It's an app, and it will dial right to your member of Congress's phone number. And you can leave your message, you can do it quickly, and you can do all at once. So there's lots of things. You can also send text messages. The idea that people read text messages is amazing to me, but you can send text messages to your member of Congress. A staff person will take them off, print them out, and give them to your member of Congress.
So how many phone calls do you think up to this point that the Indivisible group has been responsible
Indivisible for? Sonoma County probably generates about 400 phone calls every 3 days.
400 phone calls every 3 days. And then there's 600 chapters across the United States, right? And they're doing the same thing. That is just amazing. So you feel and you believe that you are really having an impact.
We hear we're having an impact. We hear it from the members of Congress. We hear it when they reference Indivisible in Washington. We hear it when they meet us, if one of us visits D.C. We hear it when we meet with the staff people.
Well, it's an amazing program, and I want to do a special shout out to everybody that's involved. I mean, it's just amazing to me, Sabra, that many people could come together and do and have an influence. And we have to thank President Trump for that. Thump, I called him. Yeah, thump. Anyway, President Trump for that. And that he has actually woken us up, because he is not really the problem. He is the representative of the problem. But that problem has been going on for a while right now. And the thing that amazes me is that there's so many Congress people and so many senators that are silent,
yes,
that are not doing anything.
Yes.
And that, I feel, is the most important thing probably that Indivisible does, is to get hold of those people and to let them know that all the people want is peace and justice.
Yes.
So why is that so difficult? Why is that so difficult, do you think?
I think peace and justice are things that most adults give lip service to, because they think that's peace for me and justice for me. And not peace for all and justice for all.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. We had the Andy Lopez shooting here in Sonoma County that I got very, very involved with. And one of the things that I said this was my son. And this woman confronted me. She says, well, that's not your son. I says, well, wait a minute. This is what I'm saying. Whenever one child is in trouble, all children are in trouble. And it's the same thing with this. When one person is not doing the right thing, many, many other people are not doing the right thing. So it's important to remind them. So let us know about your website, how people can get a hold of you, how they can join, anything that you feel is important to tell our listeners.
Find your way to Indivisible SoCo, which IndivisibleSonomaCounty.com. It's on the web. You can find us on Facebook, Indivisible Sonoma County. You can find us, you can follow us on Twitter, Indivisible SoCo. So there's lots of opportunities. And most specifically, if you feel like it, you can come to one of our general meetings. Our next general meeting is completely sold out, because we have George Lakoff speaking to us about finding our political voice. Those of us who have noticed what's going on, really notice that the hardest part is being effective in talking about it.
Now, where's George Lakoff going to be?
George Lakoff's going to be at the community center in Petaluma. And as I said, sadly, it's completely sold out. But boy, happily, it's completely sold out.
Gleefully, it's completely sold out. That shows that people are interested. Now, what if someone wants to get a hold of you and ask you maybe a little more comfortable because of a personal contact?
Oh, sure. Well, I'd have to spell it, but it's sabra.briere@gmail.com.
Well, go ahead, spell it out.
S as in Sam, A B as in boy, R A dot B as in boy, R I E as in ever, R E at gmail.com. sabrabriere@gmail.com.
Yeah, because I think sometimes it's just a little more comfortable if someone has a little bit of personal contact, because this is a very important group.
It's a very important thing.
Well, thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest and for being so informative. And I want to wish you and the group a much, much, much more success. And anything that we can do at Women's Spaces to support the effort, please feel free to call.
I'd like to put in one last plug.
Go ahead.
That is that we are getting engaged in the 2018 election. Indivisible is working in a number of different congressional districts here in California. We are working to protect Democrats and not protect Republicans. And I'm very sad to say that, but the truth is the Republicans have failed us. They failed us this year. They have not protected the Constitution. And so there's a big effort to deal with that.
Well, thank goodness we have a constitution to protect. Some countries don't have constitutions. You know, we don't realize the gift that we have here. We really do not. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, that's it. That's it for our wonderful, wonderful show here. Reminder that February is Black History Month. The theme is African Americans in Time of War, and they're having a special, special 40th Annual Black History Program on Saturday, February 24th at the Petaluma Veterans, and is being put on by the Petaluma Blacks for Community Development. Happy anniversary, 40 years of celebrating Black History here in Sonoma County. I want to give a special thank you to Sabra Briere for giving us so much information about Indivisible. It's just amazing. A reminder that next month is going to be Women's History Month. If you have any special songs or anything that you would like to have us play, please email me at elaine@womenspaces.com. A reminder, tell your friends Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. This evening on 89.1. I'm so excited I get to listen to my own program. This is Elaine B. Holt, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.